escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And I will say that he is one of the faces of this new way of doing business, for better or worse. And I like that the Steelers are not as predictable as they used to be, especially when the team doesn't win. Instead of just saying, well, we'll get him next year, at least the organization now appears to have the audacity, the flexibility, the maneuverability, the willingness to do things differently. And I think that that's mostly a Tomlin thing. But I think what Omar does is he goes out there and lets Mike know, hey, we can get DK Metcalf, and this is what we would need to give up. Do you want to do it? Yes or no? There is a team out there that wants George Pickens, and this is what we're willing, they're willing to give us. I think he's more active on that front. I think he's probably got a better relationship with the agents, having done the cap stuff for as long as he did with the Steelers. And so those would be the people he'd be talking to there, the money people. And so he, I think, gets it from that end more than, say, Colbert did, who was strictly a football guy. And I think with the draft, we see him move up and down and get aggressive with that too, if need be. So I'm not going to give him, I can't give him an A, Chris, as GM so far, because they haven't won a playoff game. But I like what he's done compared to what Kevin Colbert did in the last few years. So that's where I'll start with my breakdown of Khan as GM.
Do you rate him based on who they draft or no?
Ooh, that is a great question. It's his job is a tough one to evaluate, in my opinion, because I think he works for Mike.
Well, then I don't really know why, like, your initial reaction to this is, you said he's the face of the new way of doing things, but you said that the guy who is the oldest face in the building, basically, other than Art, yes, is still the one doing the things differently.
Yes, he is.
So he's really not the new face of Jack Squat.
He's the Robin to Mike's
Batman. If this is Mike's fiefdom, then it's really not changed.
But Mike has more power. And
because Kevin is not there
because
anymore.
Kevin is not there
but
anymore,
if,
yeah.
But I think one of the correct criticisms of the late Colbert era, I saw Ryan Scarpino, former Steelers PR guy, kind of lamenting how, like, the young people on Twitter have acted like Colbert was a hack GM, which is a ridiculous thing to say. He had a great start to his tenure, and I think his last couple years were not great. I think that's fair, and a fair, balanced way to look at it.
Yeah.
But if, like, the biggest and I think accurate complaint was that Mike and Kevin saw too eye-to-eye on things and didn't challenge one another, then really, I don't know how anything would have changed. If Mike consolidated some of that power, and that's what you believe, then it's just Mike, of his own volition, has charted this weird, different course. And that Kevin would have presumably gone right along with it, had he still been here. So, like, a lot of it, when you say it's hard to rate Omar, yeah. I mean, if you believe that Mike is judge, jury, and executioner, and that all Omar is doing is supplying him with the information, well, then the thing that you said there that makes him most different from his predecessor is he's better with the agents. He's got more of a background on the money side, and that's it.
I think Kevin had more say in the draft, and I think he had more say over football moves. I think it was probably like, if I'm going to give percentage on things, I would say it was 60-40 Mike. Okay. And now I think it's more 80-20.
Okay. I mean, I guess I have a hard time rating Omar right now. I have a hard time saying I don't think he's like ushering in a new era. I think the Steelers are being more aggressive, and that might just boil down to Omar is better at doing what you exactly laid out there, finding what actually does exist for the Steelers to pursue and then giving Mike the options. Like, it is easier if you have somebody working the back end who can tell you, actually, this is feasible. If you want to do it, we can do it. This is what it costs. If you think that that might have hit a roadblock with Kevin where he would have gone, ah, Mike, we're not going to go get that guy. Like, and it would have just been those two buddies talking. Okay. If you, I can understand where you're that differentiated.
If you were writing the article for our website, yes, on this extension, and you're trying to like sum up in a paragraph or a few sentences the Omar Khan administration, you would say that he has overseen a wholesale philosophical change. And he has been the GM during what has been the splashiest period of Steelers player acquisition since the 1960s.
That second statement rings a lot true, and I don't want to get in the weeds here, so I'm really not going to try to get pedantic about this, but has he overseen it, or has he just executed formally, like in the is he the front man executing what Mike wants to execute?
Yeah, I think he's that.
Okay, then that, but do you understand why I am trying to suss out the difference,
yes,
between him being the guy technically executing the moves and the guy that you think is still running the
but
show?
But it took a general manager change for that to happen.
Why then is the question? Because Kevin just wasn't as interested in even pursuing down that Kevin's 40%, that difference made all the difference.
Because
here,
the Steelers from when Kevin, before Kevin got here to when he took over as GM, had a formula that worked. So they didn't deviate from it.
Well, for the majority of Kevin's tenure, once they got Roethlisberger onward for the next how many years? 15 years, basically. They didn't worry about the quarterback position. It wasn't a thought. And so they could set about applying the formula that you're describing here and finding players that fit that formula, and the quarterback's going to make a lot of it
better. Well, right,
better.
But even before...
But now they're in a brave new world of, trying to find that player.
I know, but even before Roethlisberger got here, in 01, they were in the AFC Championship game. In 02, they were a kicker away from being in the AFC Championship game his first couple of years. He adhered to, and I think it was also set from the Rooney family, and he executed that, which was, all right, you know, we draft players, we're minor players in free agency, with the exception of like the James Ferrier move, which, by the way, was not like they spent gobs of money on
him. It was not seen as like, oh my God, can you believe the Steelers got involved
in the
Ferrier sweepstakes?
It was just a super smart, shrewd move.
It turned out incredibly well.
Now, like, they are making the biggest free agent signings.
They're more like the LA Rams now. The F them picks era of the LA Rams. They act more like other teams, but what have you gotten out of it? But
as you pointed out, and now other people, I saw Tim Benz basically either steal your idea.
I might have stolen it from Benzie, you never know. Depends on what the idea is.
Well, he said that they're not all in. And they're not.
I think that's just two trains running on the smart parallel
track. They're not all in because, yes, they're building a team around a 41-year-old quarterback, but they didn't mortgage years of future football with draft picks and stuff to try to win right now. They're trying to have it both ways where they're putting eggs in this basket, but they also have tons of picks in next year's draft. They didn't give those away to try to win this year.
I guess this is where I kind of level out on this. If you take the Steelers love to try to obfuscate who actually makes decisions. That goes back well into the Colbert tenure, et cetera, probably even when Cowher was there. They don't want anybody to be the one person who made a decision. It's always a big group think session. If you take at face value, though, that the general manager should be the one ultimately judged on who the personnel that they're bringing in is and not the head coach, even if you think the head coach is behind the scenes pulling every lever, then he has done things in a much more interesting and different way. Like, he has put his stamp on them as a team that is not going, that has broken and deviated from their traditional course. And that is how I would define or describe the first 2+ years of his job.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fan Hotline brought to you by Sullivan Super Service. We're reacting to the breaking news. Omar Khan signs a three-year extension with the Steelers to be the GM through 2028. As long as Mike is happy with the job he's doing, I think he'll be here. I think Art was more than comfortable with promoting Omar to Kevin's old post because of the long-standing relationship those two had.
If he's going to be here as long as Mike's happy, then what is his job really? And how important is this? If he serves at the whim of not even the owner but the head coach, then how important is he? And that's your opinion on how this power structure works. Then he's really a minor player. He's not a major player. The head coach is the major player, is judge, jury, executioner, and takes all the oxygen out of the room. You are reducing it down to lowest terms here.
Well, I think he might be third as far as football people go. I think Mike is one, then there's a huge gap. And then, I mean, Weidel's job is to set the draft board. That is huge. Now, Mike obviously can go his own way. I mean, depending on who you talk to, Mike really wanted them to draft Shedeur Sanders at some point, and they didn't. Now, again, there's not really a lot of clarity on that. Fittipaldo's come on and said the organization didn't even have a fifth-round draft grade on him. But then you talk to other people, and they say he was angling for him and pushing for him, and there were other opinions in the room, like Andy's and even Art, that was like, no, we're not going
to
do it.
That feels like one to me where if Shedeur Sanders ends up actually being good, which seems like a far cry because he's for the Browns right now, if he ends up being good, it'll be Mike actually didn't want him and Andy and those guys did. If he ends up sucking, it'll be like Mike wanted him really bad. And can you believe they steered themselves away from another Tomlin disaster? I feel like those things get adjudicated after the fact.
I mean, if you're Omar so far, you don't want your legacy to be based on the draft, because the draft since he's taken over have not yielded much yet. Pickett was the first draft.
But isn't that more? But hold on. Okay, I have to, again, feel like I'm being pedantic, but I have to lay this stuff out clearly. Who's setting the board? Andy.
Yes.
Who's probably having the loudest voice when they make a pick?
Mike.
Whose name happens to be attached to the pick? Because he is the general manager.
Omar.
Okay, so is he he's the third most responsible person?
That's what I just said with the draft, yeah.
But my point, you say he would not want his resume to be tied to that. That means if that's a lot of what a GM does, they can do three things. They can draft players, they can trade for players, they can sign players. You're basically telling me that in most of these cases, he's more like a secretary for the head coach.
If this power structure that is currently over there, if it didn't exist and it was more Kevin and Mike And
but even then, the thought was that Mike ruled the roost, and yeah, that Kevin was, especially later in his career, maybe ceded a little more influence. And you are speaking of this as if you know this to be a fact. This is how it works, which you might, but
I mean,
you're telling me that you're implying with what you're saying here that you have heard from people you believe that this is how they make decisions.
Let's just play dumb here for a second, and
that's my whole life, pal.
And look at it like we're just complete outsiders looking in. Would Mike Tomlin, who's been a head coach for almost 20 years now and quote unquote never had a losing season, would he take directives from someone who is not a football guy whatsoever?
It depends. Would the owner tell him to?
Okay, let's play dumb.
The owner's not a football guy. He's a lawyer.
Could you see the owner telling Mike that that's how it works here?
I can't see the owner telling Mike anything because the owner acts like Mike
walks
actually
on water.
No, he acts like Mike owns the franchise.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, if to play devil's advocate here, I was told before their first draft that they wanted that Mike would have, if he had his druthers, they're staying at 17, picking Joey Porter Jr.
Yes.
I was told that other people in the room kind of overpowered that opinion, convinced Mike that the right move was to draft Broderick Jones by trading up.
Yep.
And that Porter was going to be there at 32, which
yes.
he was.
Yeah.
So that would suggest that Mike can at least be outflanked
sure.
in these situations.
Yeah, but again, though, that's a situation where it wasn't like Omar Khan's opinion was Broderick Jones is a better football player than Joey Porter Jr. and this is what we're doing. It's, hey, Mike, we can have our cake and eat it too.
But who's and I think the one telling him that is probably Andy.
And
maybe Omar.
Well, I think, I do think it's Omar.
So you think Omar's talking to agents and figuring out what teams need and reading the board?
I think Omar's best at, way better than Kevin, is this is who's available. This is what we can get him for. These are the free agents and what they're asking for. I think he has a better depth of knowledge on the entire NFL.
Do you know what you're describing, though, to me, as far as like a positional title? He's almost more like this ultra senior analyst than he is a general manager in this telling of it. Hey, I have crunched all of this stuff and I am like a human computer spitting out all the permutations of how we could do this. And you guys are the ones who get to make the call.
This is not a shot at all of like Kevin's work ethic whatsoever. Kabali told us a million times when minicamp ends and before training camp starts, it's basically a dead period in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Okay, people go to their families, they go on vacations and stuff. If Kevin is the general manager, I don't think they trade at the end of June Minkah Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith. I don't think that happens.
No, I think Omar picks up the phone more, and I think he wants to make moves more. And I think if I were going to boil it down to one sentence, his tenure, to whatever extent he influences it, has become more aggressive versus conservative.
Like, I think he is constantly looking into things like that. And he goes to Mike and says, Mike, I've been talking to Chris Greer in Miami. I think I can pull off this trade. Do you want to do it? Yes or no?
And Kevin never even asks the question because your telling of it would have been like, no, this is when business doesn't happen.
I don't think Kevin's trying with Miami. No, I don't. I think Kevin,
so that, like, I guess,
will turn it around. We'll find a way to make it work with these guys.
But it sounds like then that Mike is okay in that previous telling of it. He would have been fine with Kevin's way of doing it too. But now Omar is almost catering to the person he works for by saying, maybe this guy will be more aggressive. I'm going to start coming to him with aggressive pitches.
This is just a theory of mine. I think Omar was promoted to really help Mike and bolster Mike and make Mike look better. And I think Kevin and Mike had closer to a coach-GM dynamic. Not obviously GM outranking coach, but I think they both had opinions on how things should be done, and Art took both of them into account.
Well, I think Mike also probably had a much easier time respecting Kevin because of Kevin's scouting background from that perspective, and he'd been there
longer. Kevin won before Mike got here.
I have a Super Bowl ring. You can talk to that
now,
ring
Omar
if you want
to disagree.
Omar was
like an understudy at that point, but still, I mean, listen, you hear the way Omar talks about Mike. Well, Omar sounds like he works for
he
Mike.
He parrots the same thing that Art does. That's just why I have such a hard time with, and I'm not acting like Omar's insignificant. We've gotten to talk to him. I think he's a very smart guy. No, he's a smart guy.
I like him.
I like the way he approaches business, because I think if he was left to his own devices, they would be operating the way Howie Roseman does.
I was just going to say that. I think he's got Roseman in him.
So I think that that's like the best compliment I could pay any GM. But I do fall short here, and I kind of trust your word for this because the people you talk to, if it's more right now that he is still just trying to facilitate things Mike wants to happen, then he's not the GM in that pure sense. He's doing things that his predecessor wouldn't have, but it's still the buck stops with one man. And the owner will tell you that plain as day, and Omar will tell you that plain as day. They all sort of pledge like allegiance to and suggest that they are superseded by the head coach.
What do you think is Omar's, like, in terms of moves he has to, you know, we can again debate like who actually is the one driving the bus. But
well, I'm going to tell you something about the driving the bus thing. Yeah. I think if Omar was fully driving the bus and had the full backing of the owner, I think there'd be a very good chance they'd trade TJ Watt.
Interesting.
I do. I think there would be a very real chance because he would look at him potentially. I could see him. I'm not going to put words in his mouth or thoughts in his head, but I could see with the Roseman school of thought and how Howie has sometimes treated players that people thought might have been irreplaceable, he might look at it and say depreciating asset.
Well, then by that way of thinking, he wouldn't have signed Aaron Rodgers and he would have just gone with Justin Fields too. Because if you're trading TJ Watt.
I think that's possible. I do think that that's a possibility. I don't think he's necessarily chasing baseball cards. I don't think he's enamored by a 41-year-old quarterback.
I don't know this to be 100% true, but I think Omar probably was more than okay with the decision to not bring back Fields once he saw the money that he got from the Jets.
Okay, but once he saw the money is different than what would you have done?
Oh yeah, I mean before Mike got it in his head that he needed Aaron Rodgers, I think that if Con had to pick between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, he would have absolutely taken.
Okay, if he didn't know the Fields money was going to be, if he just had to pick between Rodgers and Fields, what would he have done? Not knowing what Fields was eventually going to get, that might have soothed him on that front.
Good question.
I do think he's more modern GM, like the good template of a modern GM.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think Omar had to be pulled kicking and screaming into the Rodgers signing, for the biggest reason being, again, he's a numbers guy. It's $13 million. It's a one-year commitment.
Sure, I agree with that. But if like he could have gotten Fields for 2 years, $20 million just for argument's sake, a younger player at a better deal.
I could see him wanting to do that.
That's what I mean.
But he's also, I mean, look, I know he doesn't have a background in scouting, but we just touched on it. We think he's a very smart sports executive. I think he might also have looked at Fields and thought to himself, well, what's even the point of bringing this guy back at any dollar figure if this is how they're going to use him, if this is how my coach is going to use him, if he's going to basically like ask him to play uber conservative offense and not screw games up. What's the point in that? But the thing I was going to ask you is, what do you think, regardless of like whose name, you know, we all think Mike is obviously in charge, but what would you say during his 3-year tenure so far is his best move, Con?
Honest to God, man.
Like if he went in there and had to sing for a supper and Art said, all right, like what was the best, like what have you done for me? What is the best example of your leadership making a difference for us? What move would he point to?
Could he point to drafting Zach Frazier? I think a guy who could be a potential all-pro and he's not even a first-round pick.
Because you can't say Metcalf yet because we haven't seen him play.
And he traded Pickens away. Now, granted, that's because they clearly just got
the coach wanted him to do it.
And the coach wanted him to do it after wanting him to be there.
Donnie, do you agree with that?
I got distracted. R.I.P. Michael Madsen.
I saw that earlier.
That distracted me. I apologize.
Not Mark Madsen, the ex-Laker.
No, Bud.
Donnie, do you agree with Malzi that Zach Frazier might be his best move?
He's certainly looking like the best draft pick so far, yeah.
It's not Fautanu for sure. We don't know what any of the guys drafted this year are going to do.
I think his best move in free agency or via trade is Deshaun Elliott.
Yep.
That's probably another good one, yeah. I think the influence there, though, is probably Weidel, the personnel guy. I think he's the one going like, this guy's probably a fit. Hey, Mike, I think this guy's a fit. Hey, Omar, what do the numbers tell you that this guy's worth? Let's get him in here.
Did Deshaun Elliott ever do anything against the Steelers before he got here? Because that's usually a thing that makes Mike want the guy. I don't.
He played for the Ravens.
Yeah, there's that.
I guess I don't know. I feel like I took this in a direction nobody anticipated, but that's how my brain is working about this. Is like I like Omar and I want Omar to succeed. I just wonder how much true say so Omar has versus we are all people here, including the owner to a degree, reporting to one guy on what the personnel direction of this franchise is going
to
be.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Let's do some baseball here with Jason Mackey, Post-Gazette, former Pirates beat man, now columnist at the PG. You hear him evenings on the station, Pirates pregame. He does an hour on the morning show. We'll be there tomorrow, from what I understand, with Donnie from 9 to 10.
Isn't he working after us tonight?
Jason, are you working after us tonight?
I am working after you guys tonight, yes.
I thought you were still on vacation.
I am, but I'm not on total vacation. I'm on newspaper vacation, but radio always. Yes, that's right.
Okay. All right. So I'm conflicted here, Chris. What do you want to do first? Do you want to do the Luis Ortiz story, or do you want to do the Buccos?
I want to do the Luis Ortiz story, Jason. We now are seeing from Jeff Passan that Ortiz is being investigated and put on the shelf for the time being for two individual pitches. One on June 15th, the other on June 27th. What are you hearing? Have you talked to anybody? What the hell could these pitches be that have MLB and all this betting integrity firm that flagged them so suspicious?
So I'm going to compare this thing to the Marcano thing from a reporter's standpoint, not so much from an outcome standpoint. But I'll say this. The Pirates are in the dark in a lot of this. I kicked around the Marcano thing after it happened, and you got some like, we kind of thought, we had an idea that this is not that. Very much surprised. I'll be honest, guys, like I didn't even know they were monitoring like pitch integrity from a betting standpoint, to a point where like these individual pitches triggered such a spike in betting that they're almost thinking like there had to be something there. And I'm not going to pretend to have the answer to all of this, but I'm just saying that in the scope of my coverage, I think it's very unusual.
But you just said something that I think gives people a better understanding of what happens. It's not that somebody's watching a game and Ortiz like throws a pitch down the middle and it's a home run and someone says, we need to like interrogate him about this. It's that the action comes in from bettors before and it's like, whoa. We usually don't see this stuff. Something screwy is going on. And if it happens once, okay, that's one thing. But it's happened multiple times. So there's a pattern which makes people think he's in cahoots or, you know.
God, maybe. I would just love to know what the pitches were. You're right. It's a good distinction, Jason, and I'm glad you brought it up. But I would just love to know what the pitches were.
Someone will have it in the next half hour. I can
John
guarantee
Boy
that.
Will have it.
Pitch Ninja. Somebody will have it.
Oh, no. Pitching Ninja wouldn't want to go after a fellow pitcher this way.
Well, hey, I mean, this now becomes part of the trade evaluation. And Horwitz is swinging a hot bat.
How much did you know about ahead of time? Yeah.
Horwitz is swinging a hot bat, and if Ortiz is caught up in this, he might never play again, Jason.
Yeah, and, well, he's kind of tapered off after a strong start, too. And, I mean, I still don't love the trade, and I'll never love the trade, giving up three promising young pitchers for a bat. And
Well, I mean, that's kind of stupid. I mean, if the prospects never pan out and this guy never pitches again and Horwitz is good, well, then you'll have to love the trade.
I will. I'm just saying fundamentally, I don't love the idea of giving up a bunch of young pitching for one bat unless I'm absolutely convinced that's the guy. And I mean, you can't sit there and tell me that you're absolutely in the Spencer Horwitz camp. I agree with you. He's much better in June than he was in May. It was slightly concerning, his wrist issues that cropped up over the offseason, certainly. But if he's going to play a defensive first base like that and add what he's added to their lineup, I'm absolutely fine with that trade. And then sprinkle in Ortiz in the gambling. Really good with it.
But guys, I just got to come back to it. So somebody's already dug this up. Here is the thought, Pony, and this is why they could probably have investigated this. Jason, this makes sense to me. It appears that it is the first pitch of two separate starts where the betting spike would have been a ton of people betting on him throwing a ball for the first pitch of the game. He throws two pitches that are not even remotely close. One's in the dirt 56 feet from the mound. The other one is almost in the dirt. Neither pitch could even accidentally be swung at or called a ball.
Wow.
Or called a strike.
Interesting. Now, okay, part of me wants to say, have you seen a Pirates pitcher pitch? This happens all the time. Luis Ortiz struggled with this control, whatever. But the fact that the betting spiked on it, guys, that's what grabbed me.
Yeah, you can look for it right now on X or whatever, and people have dug this up and looked it over, and that would make a lot of sense to me if it's early in these games or whatever, and he's telling people beforehand, I might throw a ball if that's what happened.
Jason, how has this six-game stretch, arguably the greatest six-game stretch in baseball history by a team, affected your thoughts on the Pirates' outlook?
It hasn't. It hasn't. I mean, my outlook for them, Andrew, is what happens to Ben Cherington after the season. And six games is not going to change my feelings.
Fair enough. Before we even get to that, how about just the way you feel about him now handling the draft and the trade deadline in a few days?
I don't agree with it.
You still don't agree with that?
I don't agree with it. It doesn't change my mind. Now, if this continues, Andrew, I mean, if they go out west and they go 7-3 or whatever, or maybe I think it's a 9-game trip, whatever. You know, if they keep winning like this, sure, I'm going to have to eat some crow. A lot of us are going to have to eat some crow, and I'll happily do it. As of now, it does not change my mind. I don't agree with letting somebody who I don't think will be here next season run your draft and the trade deadline. They obviously see it a different way. I will offer that Ben is not intimately involved in the draft. That's the director of amateur scouting, Justin Horowitz, now. And the name is escaping me. Come on. You and I have talked about this. The guy who used to do it.
Joe Delacari.
Yep. I mean, it's usually
And we've
that.
Talked about this because the guy survived regime changes and kept that post, even though he kept missing on first round picks over and over again. Mm-hmm. That's why we've discussed it.
And hugely costly to them. Hugely costly.
Jason, I mean, my view on it, I'm wondering what you think about this. It really only starts to become vindicating for Ben Cherington to an extent if guys like Horwitz, to some extent, Henry Davis.
We had people calling in yesterday saying Gonzalez is a good pick now, Chris.
Yeah, if he picked continue to lead like a turnaround that doesn't ebb here and they actually get on this insane torrid, you know, 2003 or whatever it was, Oakland A's run, the money ball run. Okay, fine, but like I'm with you, man. Otherwise, it's just like it's almost much ado about nothing. It's six games of noise in 162.
Guys, over his entire time in Pittsburgh, he's added 0.3 wins above replacement at the trade deadline in terms of offense.
That is unbelievable. You have to try to be that bad at your job.
Like, how can I sit here and say this is the guy that should be running the trade deadline or free agency or anything? He's not been able to improve the offense in this club, and it's the number one thing that ails it. He shouldn't be allowed to fix that.
Okay, so by that logic, then, you must not want them to trade Bednar or Keller because you don't think he'll get the right return back.
If Charrington is in place, no, I don't. And I assume Charrington will be in place based on what I've heard. Not that he will be in place permanently, but, like, you know, he's going to run the draft and the trade deadline. And
Is the organization looking at him and, like, giving him credit for Donnie Kelly?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, he was part of bringing Donnie Kelly here. You can't not give him credit. I don't know if the organization has gotten to the point of assigning credit, Andrew. I just don't. I mean, here's what I know about Donnie Kelly. They love him. I fully expect him to be back next year. They are giving Donnie Kelly credit for what has happened here, and I don't think they're wrong for doing it, but I don't think it, like, goes strictly on Charrington's ledger or something like that.
Who is most responsible for the fact that Derek Shelton was even allowed to manage 38 games this year and wasn't canned after last year? Because Charrington's name was on the press release announcing that he was being relieved of his duties.
I know, and I don't think he was. I don't think he was at all. I think it was nothing. I think Charrington would have stuck around, or I think Shelton would have stuck around longer if Ben had his druthers. I think Bob got mad enough.
Well, then that should be a strike against. Hold on. If that's what you think, if that's true, that's a strike against Ben Charrington. A major one.
Yes, I agree with you. It is. You can go back that Q&A I did with Nutting. Go back and read it. And he talks like he credits himself, not like in an ostentatious way, saying like, I felt this, I felt that. It's not like Ben's feeling was. Ben didn't think we could continue. Ben made the call. Like, nowhere in that piece does Bob say that this was Ben's call. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Call me a conspiracy theorist. I think it was more Nutting than Charrington on making that call.
Jason, I want to go back to Horwitz. I know we started by talking about guys like him because he was in the Ortiz trade. Just your opinion, the people around the organization that you talk to, maybe even more so, what do they think he can be if he reaches – I'm not going to ask you his best outcome where he becomes like Joey Votto 2.0. But what do they think is like a – well, you know – like, you could say his best outcome is he never makes an out again. What do they think is, like, a realistic outcome from him that they would be happy if Spencer Horwitz becomes this kind of player?
Yeah, stop laughing, Pony. I knew what Chris was getting at. That's a perfectly valid
point. I think he liked the Votto usage there for some reason.
I wasn't laughing at him. It was just more of a guffaw.
That's all right. No, and they don't expect him to be Joey Votto, but they expect him to be somebody who can hit in one of two places in their lineup, Chris. They like a high OBP guy at the top. Maybe he becomes like a pseudo leadoff guy, probably not a two-hole hitter, but probably like a 35, you know, somebody that can lengthen their lineup. If you've got like a Reynolds, Cruz, and some combination, you'd
he
like to have.
He kind of reminds me of a John Jaso without like having such a stoner vibe about him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's not terrible, Andrew. That's not a terrible cut. He's a better defensive first baseman. I think there might be a little bit more pop there, not as much high average. But yeah, it's not a bad comp. There's a lot of high on base.
When you said like high average, the first guy I think of just as a first baseman who was just a professional hitter, but he was never going to knock 35 out was Mark Grace all the time.
Zangrilli said he was a left-handed hitting Gary Reedus.
Oh my God.
Which is like the most Dan Zangrilli like comparison to make.
He's a better he's a Mark Johnson with a lot more bat discipline in the zone. He keeps the barrel on the ball.
All right, Jason.
Yeah.
We'll be all listening right, tonight when you follow us at 6. Thank you.
All right, good chat. Later.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.